previously on 24.
The Americans have been able to shut down most of the reactors. But I'm gonna have to manage the override personally. Make sure those six melt down on schedule.
Is there anything I can do?
Take care of your mess?
I give you my word, my wife and son will be dead by the end of this day.
I'm not afraid of Father.
You should be.
He tried to kill me, and then he did this to you.
You're going to need to set things up on your end.
All right.
What do I do?
Divert suspicion.
Someone inside CTU is leaking information to someone on the outside.
Miss Riscoe, what's going on?
You're under arrest, Gavin.
For what?
You've been passing classified information.
Thousands of people's lives are at stake. Where are the people who control the override?
I swear I don't know anything.
Yeah.
We got a match, Jack.
His name is Henry Powell.
He's a computer consultant that used to work for McLennan Forrester.
They're the defense contractors that design the override devices controlling the power plants.
You're going to fly me out of here.
Drop the weapon now! Now!
Put him in the back.
He's dead, Jack.
Damn it!
You got the wrong person. Sarah's not guilty of anything.
It's Marianne Taylor. You're under arrest.
Hi, this is Evan Katz. I co-wrote this episode, and doing the commentary with me today is Shannon Daugherty, because she was visiting.
Yes, because I'm fanatical.
And she's a fanatic fan, and yes. We said, would you please do this? And she said yes. So she's going to be more of the fan / objective observer, and I can provide all the answers that I remember about writing this episode.
I like her.
Very strong. When we discussed the idea of Jack working for a woman, having a woman on CTU, we were like, wow, that's cool.
And how did you cast her? Because she's amazing.
Joel Surnow worked with her on La Femme Nikita. She was also in Spanking the Monkey. Remember the David O. Russell movie? And she's a very disciplined performance.
Agree or disagree? Marianne did an excellent job in establishing her credentials. All we need to do is leave us in the details.
I believe this was one of the scenes that was written after the show was completed to fill it out for time.
So you guys were short.
Yeah, we're frequently...
You wrote a short script.
The writers failed again. Frequently, because of editing or just because the script's time out short, we write additional material after the show's completed and... they fold into the episodes to better and worse degrees. I think this works pretty well.
Let me ask you something. That has nothing to do with this particular episode, but it does have something to do with 24. Do the actors get sick of wearing the same clothes all the time?
That's really an actor question.
Okay.
You have to admit the wardrobe guy has an easy job.
They might complain to you at some point in time.
They're stuck.
And William Devane in this is terrific.
Yeah, it's so great to see him. You know.
He does it well. He has that sort of sarcastic, dry.
Yeah. Speaking of actors getting sick of things being the same for too long, no one seems to have noticed yet how long this president is in Air Force One. It's a very long time. But I think the conceit was we were keeping the plane in the air.
Well, he was safer in the air than he is on the ground.
Which, of course, well, we won't ruin anything for anybody.
No.
I love this set. It's very much a James Bond-influenced, Ken Adam-influenced set.
Jack.
Aaron Powell's dead. He was hit by a sniper as soon as we took him into custody.
Get anything from him before he was killed?
No, but I managed to get the last 10 calls he made off his cell phone. He called two numbers.
This scene was originally written on top of a building, but I think we had shot too many people with snipers on the tops of buildings. So he changed it.
I'm going to need you you to trace it through CTU.
Okay, go ahead.
818-555-0539.
I'll get back to you as soon as I've got an ID.
I'll be standing by.
Edgar, I need you to run a locator.
You guys must do a lot of research.
We actually make a lot up. We only research when... Yeah, we really do. Tremendous amount up. We have people that look through certain things like the nuclear reactors, the way missiles work, but we bend the truth when we have to. But we try to excuse it. For instance, the virus we had last year, we called it a weaponized virus because it didn't really act the way a real virus acted. So we... This is sort of a little invention. This guy, Nestor, is really terrific. Really scary.
Oh, I loved this scene.
Yeah. You know, when we first were laying out the season, this drama between this sleeper terrorist family was a small thing. And we didn't really know where it was going to go, but it proved to be really, I think, for the first dozen episodes, the more compelling than
I think the relationship between the father and Bruce is pretty amazing, just the younger generation and how he feels and their tension between one another.
Yeah, and she's so great, the mother. She's just, she put so much that wasn't on the page. And the boy toy.
That'll stop you.
Don't, please.
Get back inside.
He's scary.
It's just the dead stare. With so much anger and disgust behind it, it's amazing.
Don't tell my husband, I beg of you.
You disgust me.
Navi.
One of my best friends, Jillian, actually started watching the show first and came over to my house, and we lived 5 minutes apart, and said, you gotta watch this show. And I was instantly hooked. I mean, hooked.
How long ago, which season?
At first season.
Oh, first season.
Yeah, wow. No, I've been a fan for a
You're
long
committed.
Time.
Here's Mom and Beirut, she's just absolutely terrific. Look at that face. And somehow you end up ultimately not hating her.
You don't hate her. It's a strange thing,
yeah.
Right?
Her maternal instincts make you like her even though she's a murderer, potentially a mass murderer. That was a very good use of split screen to find the trace. I remember this being a really difficult first act to write. We wrote it, Howard and I rearranged it over and over and over again, trying.
It's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. You have to remind the audience as if they've never seen an episode before within the scenes. So there's a lot of restatement that goes on that normally would be ridiculous, but we have to do it, and we try and do it as elegantly as possible.
So do you guys sometimes write the scripts and then sort of go back through and take out the scenes and put them in different places?
Oh.
All
yeah.
The time, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there isn't an episode this year that didn't go through five or six big versions
wow.
Before the little stuff happens. I mean, we've killed a lot of trees. Tony has an interesting...
Tony's back.
Yeah, he has a really great journey this year, which I won't spoil for anyone.
Really? Do you want to, give us some hints?
But my actually favorite line reading of Kiefer's this year is when he meets Tony's girlfriend, and they obviously have this horrible thing, and he goes, so you met her? And he goes, yes, she's really great. She's really nice.
Yeah, that was the rude young girl, right?
Yeah, the cocktail waitress.
Uh-huh.
This kind of weird, almost sexual chemistry between them, which every once in a while rears its head, is completely an on-set invention. It was not at all...
Not intentional, so it's between the actors?
They decided to do this, and it's... The first time I saw it, I was like, that's not how we wrote that scene. And I was like, ugh, a little scary, but it works. It kind of makes you sit on the edge of your seat a little bit.
It does.
Oh, my God, is she going to, you know...
Right there. Like, is she going to kiss him?
Yeah.
Mom? I need to get you something for the pain.
I'll be fine. I just need to rest.
I can get it from Nassim.
No.
The hospital he works at is right near here.
Poor kid. He can't trust anybody, can he?
Yeah. This kid's really great. So do you have a favorite episode of the year so far, Shannon? Or is that putting you on the spot? Or
that's putting me on the spot, but of the year so far... I honestly find, I wish that I could say one particular episode, but I find that every single episode tops itself somehow. And I actually didn't have that much faith in you guys that you could do it. To be honest with you, I thought, there's no way. But you do. You top yourselves.
Well, we try. The best episodes have something at the core. Now I remember. This episode originally didn't have Jack capturing Dina till the very end. And it was going to be a lot of Jack tracking her with a tracker. And Howard and I decided right away that that wasn't very interesting. So we structured the whole episode around Jack and Dina getting together in the middle. Because the two of them, when we thought, like, wow, Dina Ross and Jack Barrett, that'll be really
powerful.
A wicked dynamic. So Howard Gordon and I, we always try to look for the dynamic. What is the exciting inter-character?
Oh, by the way, can I interrupt for 1 second? Because this was done amazingly well, because you're not quite sure. And then when he says, you know, get out of there, you've done what you can.
Yeah.
And then you really see, oh.
Yeah, it's very terrible. Death by video.
Okay, sorry for interrupting.
No, I was, it's, I think I said what I had to say. We don't write the boxes between acts. The editors and directors find those when they're cutting the shows.
Did you guys have a hard time? Because it's sort of really an innovative show, I find, with the split screen and everything that you do. Did you have a hard time convincing, you know, the network and the powers that be that this is the way it should be done?
You know, I wasn't there for that, so I don't know, but works like a charm. It's really part of the shows. Apparently, if you chart it, there's a lot less split screen than there was. First season, a lot less split screen this season than last season. It's interesting.
I mean, visually, the show was shot a certain way, too. Lots of blue tones and CTU, and it's really, cinematography is great.
Yeah, no Steadicam. It's almost no Steadicam. It's all handheld to look as shaky as possible. So it's great in that it enables us to get away with a faster shoot.
Oh, hello, Edgar.
Have you seen the news?
Yes, I'm watching it now.
Oh, yeah, this was a terrible story, yeah.
And Louis Lombardi did a great job with it. You know, showing emotion without being over the top, and your heart just sort of breaks for him.
I wasn't sure on some level I believed she was Louis Lombardi's mother, but she pulled it off.
Yes, I don't really have a choice.
For those that are listening, Louis Lombardi is him, Edgar.
Right.
Right.
We were very careful as the season progressed after Audrey was rescued to integrate her into the storytelling. It's sometimes harder, sometimes easier. She works for DOD, so she can be there. So we always tried to look for something interesting to give her, since we didn't want her to just be defined by her relationship with Jack. And she interfaces here with Edgar's story with his mother.
Doing fine. The truth of the matter is, we do not have the manpower to handle this mess.
Tell me what I can do.
I've prioritized.
I think we're conscious that, you know, we come up with the premise, but the premise is the premise, whether it's viruses or nuclear weapons or the sort of multi-layered premise of this year. And it's what it's really about is these things that we're setting up. And one of the reasons I think people are responding to this year more positively than last year is Jack has an interesting relationship. It is developing sort of in a horrifying way over the course of this season. And you have the dynamic with the father. Whenever we can come up with stuff like that we can mine, it's always great. The second season, the two daughters and the father, and you don't know which one's the terrorist. So it doesn't become a story about a terrorist, it becomes a story about a family.
Also, it's so, at times the show hits so close to home with parallels that we've gone through in our own country a little bit, that must be, you know, as far as the viewers go, incredibly intriguing to end up watching the show.
I think people really responded this year to the idea of terrorists living among us. I think it connected to people in a way that maybe the virus didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the second season's nuclear...
Well, virus isn't as, like, tangible as terrorists living in our country and plotting, because we've now experienced it.
Right, we actually know they're there.
That they're, yeah. And that this stuff can happen, and it...
Not exactly escapist programming. You ready? I thought this was neat. You know, you think she's is one of the, you know, 24 twists. You think she's raising the gun to kill them, but she really wants to do is...
Kill herself,
and... We did so many interrogations and torturings in the past seasons. We kept looking this year for...
That's gotta hurt.
situations where we could shortcut it and not go through another tedious interrogation. So, for instance, here the challenge we're setting up is how do you get information out of somebody who wanted to kill herself to begin with?
Right.
Who's really willing to feel the pain or die? And the answer is you can't.
He did the right thing. That woman was willing to kill herself. She died before she gave us anything through force.
We need to get her to talk before the other reactors go critical.
And we will.
What you have in mind? We need to find some leverage.
If you, Hunt?
Yes, Jack. Put me through to Aaron.
You know, it's funny. You find yourself feeling sorry for her.
You do, but I mean, it's once again a credit to the actor.
Yeah.
How she plays it.
There's an animal quality, you know, sort of a animal backed into a corner, mm-hmm. guarding her cub. This Cameron Bancroft's character, Castle, just started. I think, I'm not sure, I think this might be the first episode he's in. And just started as a couple lines, and we kept using him through the year whenever he was available.
As the evacuation appears now to be in full swing
with major delays on all grounds.
Excuse me. A nuclear emergency team has just emerged
from the plant. We can see them here on our sky cam. They seem to be going through some kind of contamination process there. Their mission under these circumstances probably
just to try and limit the amount of radioactive material. Barulis, Uncle Nassim. You all right?
Yeah, I think so.
This was a particularly, tense situation.
Very tense. Well, especially when what happens.
Exactly. I'm kind of jumping the gun.
Like, I don't want to tell people too much, but
right.
I mean, it's such a crazy situation. You go to, you know, a family member for help, and
right.
And your dad is already sort of, you know, or is going to poison his mind against you. It's wild. What do you guys do to think up of all this stuff? How do you do this?
We're very disturbed.
Disturbed human beings.
We didn't really want to spend a lot of time with people who actually
I'm running back to this set. Yeah. I had the pleasure of being on the set, which was very cool. It's a little intimidating to be on somebody else's set, but all I really want to do is answer the phones and talk about, you know, I've got you linked up on SATCOM. It's secure. Sending division, gathering up a team. You know, I just want to sit behind one of the desk and pretend. It's pretty amazing.
Well, it's very nice when another professional is actually, you know, watches the show as a fan.
I could be that extra that's in, like, every scene. The audience can be like, wait, is that Shannen Doherty? And then, you know, fifth episode, I finally have one line.
That'll help people focus on what's important.
Right? This is the moment when I'm watching it on TV, that my TiVo.
Right.
Do.
No, you watch all the commercials, remember?
Oh, I love the commercials.
Exactly.
They're terrific.
Excuse me, Miss Raines. I'm Edgar Stiles. Sorry.
We've got a major non-compliance problem. I've got 25% of the evacuees who aren't going where they're being told to go, and another 25% that don't even know that they're in the evac zone. However you need to do it, make sure it gets done.
You know, I've known Louis Lombardi, who's Edgar, for, probably 10 years, 12 years.
Really?
Yeah.
From out here in New York? Or?
From out here.
Did you work with him?
No, I didn't, but a friend of mine did. He was in a movie that an ex-boyfriend directed.
Which movie?
Amongst Friends.
Who directed it?
Rob Weiss.
Okay. I like Edgar's thick New York accent. She was my mother, M-U-T-A-H. I grew up with a lot of guys like that. He and Chloe are, what works about them is there's an Edgar and a Chloe in everybody's place mm-hmm. of work, sort of awkward and, you know, highly
over-specialized. Chloe's great.
Yes, she really is.
She's so great.
Mary Lynn does amazing things with that part.
Any minute, you just think she's going to start kicking some butt. She can look so fierce.
There's some actually great stuff coming up with her, which hasn't aired yet as of this taping. So I won't.
Really?
Really good. Let's see how many episodes? Ooh, any moment. Last night, episode 16 aired.
It was unbelievable. I sat on the edge of my couch. My phones were ringing, and I actually turned off my cell phones because I couldn't drag my eyes away from it. I mean, it was, you know, the thing that I said earlier, that they keep on topping themselves, is really true. Because you expect to tune in one Monday night and see that an episode has slowed down a little bit. And that's not the case. It just...
Well, every once in a while it's the case.
I haven't found it.
I think we're more critical of our own work than anybody else.
Yeah.
We should be. That's our job.
Well, as artists, you always are, right?
That's the idea.
No, he wasn't. Mom, I don't know what to do. You have to help me.
Where are you now?
I'm near the Metrolink station on Lassen and Chatsworth.
Are you using...
This here, I always wondered if we were pushing it too far. Basically, the conceit here is that the NSA is archived phone conversations over the past few hours, and this is now a playback of a phone conversation from an earlier episode.
I believe everything that you guys put in front
of
me.
I'm glad you did.
But I'm really gullible.
Every once in a while we push it, and hopefully you either believe it or you get past it because you're...
No, I believe that this is actually how our country works and how we deal with terrorists now.
It would be nice if... you know, to think that there was this amount of order and
right?
control.
I actually think that they should all coordinate with you guys for now on.
And get ideas.
Who knows? Maybe they already are doing that.
You know, typically in another season, this would have been Jack, you know, really torturing this woman or beating her,
right,
or threatening her. And this really, this scene is, look at this buildup, you know, just looks and glances, really well directed. The scene's actually relatively short. Very efficient.
2 years? 5 years? 10? All this planning for one day. You do realize if all the reactors melt down,
hundreds of thousands of people will die.
Every war has casualties.
Oh.
Yeah, not...
For a second there, you don't feel sorry for her anymore.
Right. You realize she's just not apologetic.
As strongly as you believe in what you believe. But I won't waste your time or mine trying to explain...
She has an extraordinary voice.
Oh, this is incredible. Chilling. And I think what just happened there is something that we do differently. You know, typically the hero would convince the villain of their point of view. And she just short-circuits the whole thing. And he would try, and she says, you're not going to be able to convince me. I'm not going to be able to convince you. And I think that's more like real life. Except people waste a lot more time arguing.
A lot more time. What, like you and I did all day today?
Absolutely. It was ugly.
So ugly. Until you locked me in the closet. That settled me down.
Well, we have to be careful. It's not an R DVD.
And you and I know he's not going to last very long. His father will find him and kill him.
So Kiefer's
appealing
hurt,
to the maternal side.
Which is why we needed to give him the information from the archive phone call that she was so concerned about her son.
We will protect your son.
So he can spend the rest of his life in prison.
No, so he can walk away from all of this.
This show's really about this series of dilemmas that all the different characters face and pose for each other. I can get him a legal and binding pardon. A lot of the power of invention is coming up with ones that you haven't seen a million times on our show or other shows. And it's been getting harder to not repeat ourselves.
If you provide us with the information that allows us to find the override device in time, I am confident that the president will sign that pardon. And this offer expires the second another reactor melts down. Do you understand me?
You don't have... We would never underline or exclamation point. Actually, any of the characters, but...
Especially him.
Especially him, yeah. He owns this role.
Yeah, I mean, he is Jack Bauer.
Yeah, when he's in character on the set, it's intimidating. It's an interesting show for actors, which I'd like your thoughts on, because so much of these characterizations are brought. You know, some of the writing is very expository. It's very factual. And the actors have an opportunity to really bring a lot of this to it.
Which I think is great, because it's sort of, as an actor, it's the same as being an artist and having sort of that canvas to work with. If it's all factual, then it's very much up to you to bring the human element into it. It's what I was just noticing about Kiefer Sutherland, is sort of where he put his pauses and what words he emphasized. It's such a choice that he's making, and it's really pretty brilliant.
Make sure that document is non-binding.
And everybody just seems more real.
Mm-hmm. I think that we all try very hard to drain cleverness and glibness out of the dialogue, when in fact a lot of us like to write that way, more writerly. One of the first things that writers have to do when they come on the show is really learn to dry it up.
Mm.
It's, you know, you don't call attention to the writing. And really drain the humor out of a lot of it.
Right.
There's not a lot of humor. Every once in a while. But it's really not appropriate in the show. Chloe, of course, is. You know, that's... But that's it. Jack's not a wisecracker.
No.
And I think that makes
him
more
real. He has far too much on his plate.
Yes, he's very burdened. He's very burdened.
He's busy, as are most people
who know him or run into him. I always thought it was sort of the party of five disease. You don't want to be friends with Jack.
No.
People. Some terrible things happen.
Although I would.
For the drama.
Exactly.
For the drama.
What are you saying?
You know what I'm saying.
Calling me a little bit of a drama queen?
Aren't all actors?
Absolutely.
this is terrible. We're kidding, and here's...
I know. I'm watching it on the news. And I know what to do.
Ma, there's nothing you can... To be powerless.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm talking about.
And in a position, sitting at a company where you shouldn't be powerless.
Right.
Especially since there's only one way it can end.
At the end of this, I'll try to remember to say what was originally the last shot of the show. I think I can say now. She's talking about killing herself in the original draft. The last second of the show was Edgar calling his mother and the phone just ringing. And then it went to black. But I think we felt that it wasn't really on the A story. It wasn't on the most important story. So didn't become that. We can't really get more emotionally powerful than that.
I can get someone to you. I'll keep trying.
You've got a very important job to do there. A lot of people are counting on you. So...
Do you guys have notes up in the writer's room of, you know, events and timelines and all of that just to keep track of everything?
We used to, and we've stopped doing that because we realize we can't plan far enough ahead. We change things so much up until the very last minute. And sometimes after things are shot, we'll go back and reshoot. So we can't get far enough ahead.
What are your hours on this show?
We actually have pretty good hours.
Do you?
The writers, yeah.
What about the actors?
Well, the actors don't. But, you know, I think everyone's happy to be on a good show.
Yeah, you know, I always say as an actor, I would rather, if I'm working 20 hours a day, on a show like this, it's a pleasure. As opposed to, you know, 6 hours a day in a job that you don't really love or are passionate about.
And you don't want to give me any specifics or anything like that.
That's on the second DVD.
What you're saying is true. There's nothing you can do for your mother. But there are thousands of other people whose lives you can save. Now, suppose your mother were here right now. What would make her proud? What do you think she'd want you to do?
Oh, man. Driscoll is so tough here.
So tough.
It was the bravery of this performance was there. Alberta just, she didn't care about making this character likable. I think most actors would really want to make the character likable and soft, and she just doesn't do it. It's really unusual.
And what's interesting is I like her. I don't know if I'm a rarity.
It's okay to like her. It's okay to like
her. I think that she's, you know, in this job, and she's this tough woman. And also later, with her own problems with her daughter, you really see that human side of her as well.
I think that this episode worked very well in terms of things all converging to a climax, things all building to a single thing. So structurally, we know Beruse is at the hospital, we know the father's on the way to the hospital, we now know the mother has given up the hospital's location to Jack. So everything is kind of coming together. It doesn't always work that way, but when it does, it can lead to a really great climactic episode. I think split screen at this point is largely used in phone calls, which is great. A lot of frowning on the show. A lot of very worried people. Wonder what kind of moods the actors are in at the end of the day after all the burdens.
How many of them, when they're done being on the show, need Botox?
We'll never find out the real
answer. No, you never will.
But what about you?
We'll talk about that. Right now, these men are coming to pick you up.
Yeah, you're right. The way that the father and Jack Bauer and everybody sort of converge on the scene, which is coming up. I'm telling too much too soon, but that's all right.
I think it's okay.
They've probably seen it, and now they're watching the commentary to
one hopes.
Hear our oh-so-respected opinions.
We always try to make sure so that it feels real, that you just believe everybody's position here, that she would do this for her son, that he would react this way, that Jack would let her do this. I've never been on a show where we talk so much about, instead of wanting things to happen and hoping they work, realistically, you know, making absolutely sure it does. Usually you want something to happen and sometimes you'll look the other way.
Right.
About characters' motivations or the reality of things.
On the scene. I have to go.
What about the pain medication?
My mom's gonna hear from somewhere else, but thanks for trying.
Bruce! I can't let you go.
Why not?
I spoke to your father.
What?
He told me you need help.
You don't know what you're talking about.
A lot of times I'll be writing, I'll be just stuck. I'd spend like 3 hours on two pages. And then I'll get up and I'll get coffee or something. And in that relaxation away from the moment, you go, oh, I'll do that. It makes me want to get up and not write at all.
How did you find, I don't know if you guys have addressed this on earlier or not, but how did Kiefer Sutherland come into all this? Because he's so amazing in it.
He's perfect. I mean, he's perfect. You know, that was the pilot, and I wasn't around for the pilot, but, you know, I believe he was the first choice. And in fact, my wife is a casting director, and Joel and I knew each other before I was on the show, and I remember him calling my wife late one night and saying, do you have Kiefer Sutherland's agent's number? And that was to get to them about this pilot. And at the time, very scary. This is a great. Oh, this is.
Oh, nice brother-in-law.
Just a real 24 moment, you know? Just a good guy getting killed and.
It's just his face. I mean, you just look at him and you're scared. It's those eyes and everything that they say.
This was a little logic circle here, which is, I'll kill you for helping, but if you kill me, mom will help. But if you don't kill me, mom will. It's just a real. It works, but it's, if you think about it. Nestor's just fantastic.
I mean,
that rage.
That's the kind of actor that you work with, and you don't have to pretend to be scared.
Yeah, no, he's terrific.
He seems impulsive too, sort of like.
Very soft-spoken man.
Shut up!
When we do act breaks, we always have to make sure we believably covered the 4 minutes that the commercials took place over. So they did a lot of running in the hospital. Actually, can become quite a burden. No, it really, you know, because some scenes want to play through, and you can't. You got to explain what happened in 4 minutes. So they were driving there, they're running around, and there are times when it's a very inconvenient fact of the show. And things don't naturally want to pause for 4 minutes.
What's going on here?
There's been a shooting.
Who?
One of the pharmacists. Who are you?
My name is Jack Bauer. I work at the counter-terrorist unit.
So a minute ago when you had the music and Jack Bauer running up the stairs, that's the point in time that when my parents are over watching this with me, we all three go, go, Jack Bauer, go!
My mom says she has to take Xanax when she watches the show. I don't know if she's doing it or telling me she's doing it, but she goes, oh my God, this show's terrible. My heart's pounding. Which means, of course, the show is great.
He's already killed his wife's brother. What about the boy?
I don't know. We're going to have to lock down all the exits. I think he's headed for the parking garage. I need you to meet me on the east side of the building with backup.
Copy that. We're going to the east side of the building. We need backup teams there right away.
So, you can really, in these sequences, hear the score. Sean Callery does a really great job. Very hard to score something like this. It's so much of it is nonstop music that you don't really register sometimes but it's hitting you unconsciously.
But yeah, but the thing about the score is that it sort of, it doesn't take away mm-hmm. from anything. It just yeah. adds to the scene and builds up. You don't consciously think right. like, oh, listen to that music in the background.
Yeah, he owns this, Sean.
Oh. What a great father.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a great question is, you know, what do you choose, the cause or your flesh and blood? And the mother and the father had different answers to the question.
That had to hurt.
Oh. And of course, Jack's much better at recovering from an accident than...
Yeah, it's amazing. He pops right back up.
Yeah. Than the way I would do. I think originally we had a gate coming in on the car and the car tries to ram the gate and gets crushed. All the action stuff sort of changes in terms of production.
Let the boy go! We can work this out. I will put my gun down if you give me the boy. All I want is...
See, Jack needs the boy so the mother will talk. It's very...
And now here's the mom.
Yeah. There's a great ending of this show that was not in the script. Now, these boxes we do script. These are the only boxes that we script in the show, the last ones before the last scene. So we have a scene, we go to box to remind you of the other stories, and then we'll pop out to not necessarily usually the same scene you were in before, but in this time, yes.
Those boxes also really show you how many things are going on in one episode.
Balls are in the air, yeah.
He doesn't need to. He has to assume I have agreed to help you in return for my son's safety.
Well, he can't stay down there with him forever.
He won't. In 2 hours, all the reactors will have gone critical. After that, it won't matter what I tell you. And he can kill my son. I am only helping you to save his life.
What's amazing is that the actors in the scene are sort of looking at her like, God, you know, we need you, but we hate you.
Everybody hates you.
And you get that without any words.
That was a great found in the editing room end of a show.
Did you get that?
And then out. I don't remember what the written ending was. Well, thank you, Shannon,
for doing this. Yay.
It's great to watch with a fan, let alone you.
Huge fan. Thank you.